This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Oh, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in this place this morning, Lord. That transforms us, that changes us, that molds us, that shapes us this morning, Lord. And we declare, Lord, that without your Spirit, Father, we are nothing. We're just a breath of air, Lord. But we thank you for your freshness this morning, Lord, that you continually want to fill us. I want us to just to turn to the person that doesn't look like you, and that's not hard to find. So just around you. And just to show some appreciation for that brother and sister. But go to somebody that you normally would not pray with. Don't go to your husband or your wife, please. I know they don't look like you, but just show some appreciation by just thanking God for who they are. Amen. 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 Thank you, Freddie and the team. I'm training these guys behind me. They stay on the stage. Some I don't knock churches, but then they kind of play while I'm preaching. Bing, bing. Anyway. No, they bless us so much, you know, with their dedication towards this. Don't you think they deserve a fan, eh? It's more than just playing a few songs. Believe me. The spiritual part is much more important than standing here on the stage, the preparation and engaging into that. So I feel so excited, so pumped up, so sharp, so I don't know how to express myself. I've been away and I will share a little bit later, a little bit more about that. But I don't have time to go into details, but I've been privileged to be away for 12 days, nearly 7 days in a congress, World Congress with One Hope, a ministry that we partnered with, but I'll share a little bit later. So it's just inevitable when you get into those moments and you worship with other people and you get exposed to that, that's not going to rub off on you. You know. So, but that's just a teaser of what is coming. So put your seatbelts on. We are on a series here, an extreme makeover series. Hopefully you will be, by the end of the series, be made over or have a complete makeover. You know where that name comes from. We've seen that television program, Extreme Makeover. Yeah. You've seen that? It's nice. The houses, the American program, they would go in, they just redo the house and they give it to poor families or families that cannot afford that. Actually, very nice. And we're in that extreme makeover process from the day that you meet Christ. Huh? He started with that mess. Started with me. I thought, I was so ashamed of myself. I felt so... I just can and carry on, and many of us can identify. But he saw something there, and he said, listen, I'm going to work with that. I couldn't see that, you know. And maybe you can think about yourself as well. And you know, back then I thought, God, you've got the wrong address. You've got the wrong bad timing as well, because I'm not in a good state now. And then God has just got that ability to take you out of that mess and just take us. And so we're in this extreme makeover series, and we spoke, and I wasn't here, but I heard that we had two amazing services. Carl and Theo shared the previous 2 weeks about what God starts to do in our heart when He starts with salvation, changing ourselves, you know, our whole being, Because it always starts with that. He needs to start with us. He needs to give us a new heart, change our desires, change a lot of that so that he can assign us, or the thing that I want to talk to you about this morning, about the new commandment. But before we go, there's something that needs to take place here in the inside. Amen. Okay, can I just see, is everybody awake? Can I give an amen from everybody? Then I know. Otherwise, I'm going to stop preaching and say, listen, let's go home, go and sleep. That's fine. Catch up on the sleep, but preach with me here. I'm excited, so I hope you're excited by the end of this. Actually, what is a bloedblaar in Engels? Bloedblaar. Huh? Blood blister. I was so excited in the first service. I picked up this chair, and in the process, I hurt myself. That luckily, any words didn't come out there, so that's evidence of speaking and preaching too fiery. Anyway, so I was just trying to say to the people, listen, these chairs are actually just here for a moment for you to sit on. You can't.
That's why this one's here.
Yeah, maybe that's me that moved it, you know. But don't sit on them too long, okay? Just say that to the person next to you. Don't sit in this chair too long, okay? Just here for an hour, okay? Or a little bit less, hopefully. There's a song, and I can't sing the song, but you would know the song. That says, you're always on my mind. I'm never singing it. So, who knows that song? Come on. I know. Come on, the younger people. This, I'm still young. I know that song as well. If you just... You are always on my mind, okay? I don't know who wrote that song or who's singing it, but it made me think about this. About you are always on my mind. And if we had a nice camera there this morning... And we can zoom in here on Vivian's mind and your mind. And we take an image of that. And we ask ourselves the question, what's continuously on your mind? And if that would be able to pop up on the screen, I don't know if it would be a bit of an embarrassment or we would be, thank God we don't have that technology. But for me, I mean, let me just be, you see a few fires, you see a tent there maybe sometimes. You see other stuff, different stuff. Some of us will see a surfboard too, huh? I don't know. Or maybe, you know, maybe it's just your marriage that's in a tough time. Or maybe it's a health situation this morning that you continuously have that in your mind. Maybe it's some people. Maybe it's a lot of other stuff that would be on your mind. Maybe it's a financial situation that we carry that stuff, you know, with us. And it's on our minds. And it sometimes consumes us. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it distracts us. Sometimes it's a challenge. And so I thought about... Jesus, because ultimately it's about him. Huh? We can talk about us, but we need to come back to him. If we would have the ability to put the camera on his mind, and I think the only camera that we have this morning is probably scripture, what would we find if we look at his mind, zoom in a little bit and see, what is in his mind continuously? Somebody had a guess in the first service and it was right straight away, but I'll give it to you. I think I'll summarize it in one word. People. Jesus had people on his mind continuously. I guess that's probably one of the biggest signs that God has touched your life and that he started with a makeover in your life. When you suddenly start having people on your mind that you never had on your mind before. That you were content living the life that you live, but now suddenly... Now, after you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, now you need to, or you want to, go to others and tell them, listen, you come and taste. This is good stuff. I've been blind, but now I can see. I've been lame, but now I can walk. I've been broken, but now I'm fixed. Or whole, that's a better description. Thanks, Carol. And I can carry on and on. When God touches us, we cannot stay the same. We cannot keep quiet, and we cannot ignore the fact that more people need to hear about this. Uh-huh. In actual fact, if that is not the case in our lives, that's a major, major sign of a massive heart attack that you're busy having, spiritual heart attack. Because if people is not on your mind, and the only thing that is important is to keep the chair warm, it's time for a fresh encounter. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah, well... Jesus, in Mark 6:34, it says that Jesus looked at the people and he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And that is the thing when we look at Jesus' life that's probably standing out the most. is that Jesus had people on his mind continuously. Them, me, and you. On the most, even on the most difficult day of Jesus' life, when they nailed him to the cross, what did Jesus say? He said to John, "John, take care of my mother." Take care of my mother. He said to the sinner next to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And then what did he do while they nailed him to the cross? "Father." Have you seen that movie, The Passion? That's probably the part in that movie that struck me the most, because I knew when they try and portray that in scriptural day, you can't pray a prayer like that just because it's nice words, huh? I was like it when I saw it the first time back then. I remember now. It touched me because I said, "Oh, Jesus, I don't know if I can pray a prayer like that." It shows me a lot about Jesus' heart for his people and for me and for you. "Father, forgive them." And it's not them, it's us here this morning, people. I nailed him to the cross. Sorry to say, but you nailed him to the cross as well. But he said, "Father, forgive them," because he had people on his mind. And why would Jesus have people on his mind continuously? Three things I want to share with us quickly, and I want to lay a foundation, just giving you one scripture here. We'll pick on some, touch on some others. John 13:34, we've spoken about that scripture many times. We had it in the previous, I want to say, prophetic season when we were talking about, "You shall love others as I have loved you," or "A new commandment I've given you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Amazing. A new commandment. So when we come to Christ, Christ does something in our heart. He gives us a new commandment. In actual words, what are you saying to us? Let's just take it from a different angle. When you come to me, I want to reprioritize things in your life. It was actual fact, Christ had said to the disciples, "Listen, guys, you've got fish in the mind. But when I'm done with you, you won't have fish in the mind. It will be, you will have people in your mind." And I think about my own life, how we consumed with so many things, and how I was consumed with so many things, and still sometimes get consumed with so many things, that in even just the week that I had, and the privilege that I had, and I'll come back to that, but being there, and then you just being touched by God, and then you just come back to that reality again of, it's about people. It's about his people. That's what's on God's mind this morning. And Jesus had three reasons, I believe, why he was continuously walking with people on his mind. The first one this morning, it will be up there, is Jesus knew the heart of the Father better than anyone else that walked on this earth. Guys, if we want to profess that we are Christians, the first thing we'll have to discover is the Father heart of God. Jesus knew that. He walked this earth. He knew how the Father felt about his children. And one of our core values this morning, you know, many of us know the vision, but the core value is some of those values that keep us together as a family. Shofar Swakopmund, Shofar Christian Church internationally. One of our core values is people. There are five of them. Passion. There are a lot of other things. You can have a look on them. I'm not going to go into that. Maybe that's a surprise to you, but here's the thing. If you're here this morning, you're part of this family, then it means there's something that's overlapping in terms of your core value system that God has placed inside of you and inside of me and inside of her that's overlapping, that enable us to take hands and say, "Listen, we are in common agreement here and we need to do that and go and live according to those values." And one of them is people. So God is saying to us, and we're revisiting this stuff this morning, not a lot of revelation here, I'm just going back to certain stuff. It's just to say, listen, it's about people. It's not about me. Okay, because it's always in the family context, okay? It's not about you, it's not about me, it's about people, okay? Let's just see that for what it is. It's about people. And God wants to take us again just to that place and ask ourselves, is it still about people where I am? You know, Jesus walked through the earth while he was here. And one thing I noticed, every time when Jesus saw that people were placing a higher thing or higher value on stuff and things than on people, he would have confronted them. That's what the Pharisees did. They placed a higher value on systems, religious systems, certain days, certain festivals, and he confronted them and said, listen, the Sabbath was not, man was not, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Yeah? The moment we place a higher value on things and stuff and chairs and buildings, and guys, we're building a nice building, and I'm excited, and I want to say to you at the same time, I said in the first service, while I'm there, I'm like repenting of the small building that we are building. That sounds strange, eh? And we're in the middle of it. It's a massive thing for us to get the funds together. I know it sounds strange. But you think we're building a 700-seater building in a 40,000 town. Suddenly, I mean, you just go out there, and sometimes God needs to take you to a place and say, just think, help, just stop. Just stop making me so small, you know? I mean, it's big for now, and God is taking us, and that's not the building what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, God wants to do so much bigger things if we can just get to that people, to that place that we see people, that God can use us. You know, one time Jesus walked through Samaria, and what happened is they wouldn't allow him to go through that. And Jesus said, yes, guys, and they wanted to call fire upon these people, and Jesus said, listen, whoa, you don't get this. This is not what it's about. The prodigal son. The story again. Jesus is saying to you, listen, you don't get this. This is about people. This is about the loss. This is about people dying out there. You're not getting the message. And I think if it had to say that to the church, probably we need to hear that from time to time. Hey, listen, this is not about, listen here, these seats, they're empty, but they've got a name on them. They've got a name on them. And soon they need to be filled. And I'm not trying to build a church here. I'm just saying it's about people. People ask you, why do we count? Yeah, because every number's got a name. How can't we look at it like that? How can we always say, oh, but you're pushing me. Oh, you know what? No, yeah, I'm pushing you. Yes, because it's about the name. Because somebody's out there dying. And God is saying to us this morning, just revisit that. You know, we need to carry that with us continuously. People on our heart. You know, how easy it is. And listen, I'm preaching here to myself this morning, so please don't receive it as it's coming this way. But when's the last time that people sat here next to you as a result of your invitation? And I know I'm not trying to impose something here this morning upon you that you feel, oh, it's a burden, I go out of here, and I don't know, I'm not good enough. I'm not saying, it's just carrying that burden with you continuously. Because it doesn't happen overnight that somebody you just pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm going to come with you to church because I'm just a medical. No. We all know it takes a long time to get somebody to that time. It takes a lot of prayers. It takes a lot of burden to carry people on your mind, on your heart, continuously at that place. Because I think about you, and when I think about you, I pray for you. And then one morning, I pick up the phone, one weekend, we have a conference, we have a church service, and that one moment that we get. Sometimes we have to put so much hard work in. Huh? Come on, you're very quiet. Is that what I experience? You need to put so much hard work in terms of carrying that burden and people with you for that one encounter. But when you have that, it's all worth it. And you come back and say, Jesus, I'll do that again. Huh? Amen. Let me just get an amen again. Or are you agreeing with me or not? Hey, we don't fill the church that easy. It's not that easy. Huh? It's tough. Because we wrestle against flesh and blood. We need to carry those people. We need to pray more than ever before for that one moment that we probably get this year, or two, or three maybe. And they will knock you a couple of times as well and tell you you were a whatever. Huh? But to carry people in our hearts. I've been in this conference, and you know, when you sit in the conference there, first 2 days was disaster for me, in the sense that I don't know why I find myself there. I'll come back to that. And I'm like with 100 nations, nearly 100 nations all across the world, and people just talk in the presence of God continuously. So there's the one teaching and the other one workshop after that. So I jokingly said this morning, I don't know if women felt like that, but at the end of the second day, I'm in this workshop, and this guy would just talk, and then I cry. And I don't know why I'm crying. But and it's not about the crying and the manifestation of, that's irrelevant this morning. All I'm just trying to say is that when God stirs you on, when you're in the presence of God, He touches you so much that eventually, And that's what I want to, that I brought with me from this conference. This one thing that you would hear continuously when you're in the presence of God is just, my people, my people, go back. Because, you know, it's nice to stay there. And it's good to be there. And it's good to be equipped. And it's good to get exposure. And I wish I could take so many people with me. And there would be many more opportunities for all of us to get exposure in different angles and different places. And please, people, I think one thing you can do is get out of your town. Get out of, even if you just go to Arandas. Hey, man, I've seen this too many times. I've seen this too many times without God's presence. And I believe it with all of my heart. Get out of this place. Get out of that seat. Just go. And you'll see God move like never before. You'll see his accompanying presence. You'll see word. You will see him speaking to you about your people. You'll meet people that you've never met before. Man, I've prayed with people. I've made friends with people. And this is just the opportunity, man. But it's not just reserved for that once off. It happens in our own town. It happened to me in towns. I continuously see that. If we continuously put people on our heart and just say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to go. He meets you there. And you encounter him there. Because he's got people on his mind. And if we're in the presence of God, it's inevitable that he will talk to you or not talk to you about his people. About me and about you. About the plans that he's got for you. Where he wants to take you. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think or imagine. Who would ever think where God can take you, if you're just willing to go. So, Jesus, apart from the fact that he knew the heart of the Father, he knew the reality of eternity more than ever anyone else. He walked on this earth, and he was continuously speaking about, listen, heaven, but also hell. Hear me out this morning. Hell is a reality. Jesus said this. Let me just read the scripture first. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And in Luke 16, verse 23, Jesus tells a story, not a parable, a story, because he's referring to Abram, that's a real character. Abram and the rich man. And he says, listen, and he's giving us an insight into hell, into what it would be like there, so that the reality would sink into all of us. I was driving the other day, and I said to someone, I think it was to my wife, you know, we don't preach a lot about the hell in church, huh? Even though Jesus spoke a lot about the hell. Not to scare you, but actually we should be scared of that, actually. But actually just to help us so that we understand the reality. You might be here, you've got your fire insurance policy covered, so that's okay. But there's somebody else that hasn't got an insurance policy yet. And you think, you know what, I'm okay. But God says, the reality, how would our conversations look like? Because if I have to ask all of us this morning, do you believe in hell? I think the majority of us will say, yes, 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 there's hell. Okay, but if that sinks in, and I'm speaking to myself here this morning. If I really believe there's a hell, how would that change my conversation or my prayers? Let's just start with that. My prayers with my neighbor. Not just the ones that I'm with every day. Have I become so callous, desensitized, just, you know, I'm in this world and I just have to suffer and just have to make money, I just have to work, just to take my kids through the school, I just have to do this, and when I'm finished, I'm going to retire at 65 or 70, then I'm going to sit back and for another 20 years, just hopefully I have a few good years, and then I'm going to die and then I'm going to be with Jesus. And I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just saying, God, touch my heart afresh this morning with the reality of eternity. One of my favorite TV stories is Fire. Okay? Campfire. No. It's really, I mean, I could sit there in a fire in a camping place or wherever, and I would just relax and just, but then at certain times, and it happened to me so many times, people, then that reality would kick in. Then I would start imagining this whole thing about hell. Because I mean, you feel fire. I mean, it's not a joke. You sit there and I'm like, and then I think about the people that I'm still praying for that's not yet here. And then that thought is overwhelming. It scares me. It scares me totally. If I have to think about my own family, I've been forever in hell. Forever. May God touch our hearts afresh. Because you know what? It's not something to play with. What we do here is not just a nice Sunday, come and have a few nice songs and listen to a sermon, go back home and feel good about yourself. But it's just to get equipped, just to celebrate what God is doing in your life, just to praise God for, thank you, you're still strong. Thank you for what God has done for your life. But God, thank you, there's an opportunity this week to keep on. And we don't have all those hoo-ha moments every week. And we come back and say, yeah, I saved 10 people. But at least we need to be in the mission field. At least we need to be out there and say, Jesus, here I am. Send me. We sang that first service, a song, Here is Ek, Here I Am. And it's such a beautiful song. And it blessed me so much. But God is talking about, and Jesus is talking about this in the scripture. He says, do not gather for yourself riches here on earth, where moth and rust destroy that, you know. But gather for yourself stuff up there. Accounts. What does our accounts look like up there, huh? And we gather so much here. And nothing wrong with being a good steward. Please, don't hear me wrong here. But if we had to look in our different types of accounts, if we would have that, I'm just imagining this now. What would your serving account look like up there? Your availability and serving account. Are you available? What would your, we're in the giving account, and people give extraordinary now with our church building, which I'm so thankful for, and we God will bless and reward. What would your giving account look like? I mean, I'm not even talking about church building. Maybe we can just come to 10th, and we maybe come to offering, take it steps back. I don't know. Are you open-handed? Are you generous? I had a powerful saying, let's just tell you this. I sat in a meeting over lunch with one of the pastors. He's the head of the Assemblies of God of 5,000 churches in Kenya. Okay. And he spoke, and when he started speaking, I'm like, you're going to come to Namibia. I'm going to invite you. So anyway, so long story short, this, you know, God is just amazing how he would. We didn't know, and the next thing I ended up sitting with him on lunch next to me. So we're having a conversation. I said, listen, your session just blessed me. And he was talking about inclusivity and humility in leadership. You know, from an African perspective, guys, we have it so wrong sometimes. And I'm talking, hear my heart this morning, in terms of an African perspective, of the king up there. He was sharing about when he took over, how he led that church, 5,000 churches. Anyway, so the whole thing about the humility, inclusivity, taking people with you. That's just touching me. So he said this. And when he was on the top there, when he was leading this church, they were, I don't know how many million the church generating and how big. God said, give this church away. I want to use you somewhere else. So a challenging thing. But then he said this, and it struck me. He said, God said to him, your growth is in your generosity. Your growth is in your generosity. Not just money, guys. Our ability to give away of ourselves. The more we give ourselves away, the more we grow. Isn't that powerful, huh? I wrote that down. I was like, wow, that's stuff I have to remember. Is it? Wow. So God is saying something here to us. I mean, guys, and I'm so thankful. I want to say to you, I think we underestimate what's in this church in terms of our generosity. I really believe that this church is supposed to be and has been in the past and will be in the future, be a massive seed in terms of generosity, in terms of what God has placed inside of us. And may we grow in that more than ever before. May it expand inside of us. It starts with the finances, of course, because that's where a lot of our hearts are attached to that, you know. May it loosen us from the grip of this world, you know, so that we can see what God can do through us as a body here. When that will be one of the things that we will be known for, that we are generous. That we are a church to say, listen, we'll go, we make ourselves available. We'll make our resources available. We give our people, we sow our people into this nation. Sorry. With point number 3. Last one. So the first two, Jesus knew the heart of the Father and Jesus understood the reality of eternity. And the last one, I know I leave with you this morning. As Jesus knew the potential of people more than anybody else. I've got a Thailand cold that I'm still shaking off, so apologies. Luke 19, verse 6 to 8, you can just read that on your own at home. But it's the story of Zacchaeus. And Jesus would go through that town, and then Zacchaeus would be up in the tree. But here's the thing. Jesus was the only person in that crowd that could see generosity in a greedy person. That stole money from the other people and said, no, listen, when I'm done with you, you're going to be a generous person. He was the only one or the first one, and when that woman at the well was there, he could see in the prostitute purity. Isn't that something that Jesus needs to do in our lives when he touches us? When it's all about people, we start seeing different stuff about people. You know how many times people can't see that in themselves? And God would use you in their lives and say, listen, I see something here. And they wouldn't believe that because the enemy has brought so much destruction and tried to blind them. And God is there placing us all across, all over, to open that inside of people and say, here. Think about your own life for a moment. Think about where you were. I think about myself. I'm nothing. Not that I'm a something now. I was at this conference and come back to that now. But you think the mess that you were in, how far you were removed. I listened to the song this morning. I think the words went like this. You found me even before I was lost. It's powerful, huh? You found me even before I was lost. Because you knew me in my mother's womb. You knew where I was going. You know, and then when I go down that route, that just blows me, the grace of God. How he kept me, preserved me, till I could make a decision for him, or till I could hear his voice, put it this way. Till he found me. That's just too much for me. I don't know, I can stop there and just say, God, wow, thank you, Jesus. You preserved me. In my ignorance, in my rebellion, up to a time for this, for that one day. And you started. There's a statistic. And the statistic says this. The longer you are, and this is in churches all across the world, the longer you serve Christ, the less likely you will witness. Bad statistic. That's just a general statistic all across the board. The longer you serve Christ, the less likely you will invite people to church. It's tough. It's tough for me. I'm not saying this to you. I'm just saying, God help us not to be part of that statistic. God help us. You see, Jesus was so inclusive. Wherever he went. This past week I've been in this, and let me tell you the story and we'll end here. In this conference, 100 nations, first few days, I'm like, just asking myself the question, what am I doing here, Lord? What am I doing here? I don't deserve being here. You know, I represent our country. We are so small. We are still in the beginning phase. And it's just, what am I doing here, God? What a privilege it is to be part of what you are doing. You know, it's not about me. It's not about that. But it's just the fact that God says, here, there's an opportunity. Just go. You know, anyway, so I'm interrupting myself. I've got so many thoughts. Sorry. Where was I now? I was at the... So I have to get myself back just to what I wanted to say. So the statistic. So God is saying... Well, I wanted to say about the inclusivity of Jesus. Have you ever noticed in Scripture how inclusive Jesus was? Culture-wise, black, brown, white, rich, young, poor. I mean, we form our groups. I mean, we have our different churches. We have our different denominations. Black doesn't like white. White doesn't like rich doesn't like poor. I mean, you get that all across the world. I'm not saying it's here, you know, but from time to time we see that in the world out there. And God has called us in his family to be one. And I think this past week that blessed me so much when I was praying with nations and brothers from different cultures and nations, and that we can feel the love. And I said to somebody, you know what? Where else in the world can you find that? That we would be under one roof, we've never met each other, but we can sit around that table and feel the love and know we've got something in common here. And I thank God when I look at this, especially our second service, guys, that we are called to be a house of all nations, to be inclusive of every single person. Because sometimes the rich has got a problem with the poor, and the poor has got an issue with the rich, and that's not what it's about. Because God blesses and God gives and God calls this culture for this. But at the end of the day, there's not supposed to be separating lines. What God wants us is to be one family and to appreciate one another. And that's what I did that deliberately in the beginning. It's just to show appreciation for one another sometimes. And to build that house for a nation for all of us. Jesus is saying it's all about people. It's about people. It's not about what your color. It's not about your culture. It's not about your social status. It's not about where you grew up. It's not about that side of the town or this side of the town. Hey, it's about my people. And we need to learn that ability, how to relate to all of us, to different people. Because sometimes we tend to, what do? Where it's comfortable. I'll go and talk to the people that I tend to connect with. And I mean, we find friendships. There's nothing wrong with having amazing friends. But within the context of family, God sometimes calls us to step outside that comfort zone. There's a book written, I read it a long time ago, Just Walk Across the Room from Bill Hybels. And it's all about this evangelistic approach. But it says it all. Huh? Just walk across the room, man. Just get up and just walk. Because as you walk, he's going to tell you what to say. Sometimes you walk and you think, what am I going to say? And I'm going to stand in front of this guy and I don't know him and I don't know what conversation we're going to have and I don't know if we will have stuff in common. But that's the scary, exciting stuff, huh? Jessica, you do that a lot in Germany, huh? When we engage and we experience God in that moment and he leads us. So I'll end with a story. We are there on the second day. We have this workshop. And we're talking about the 414 window. Those of you who have not heard about that, it's a movement that we're probably looking into, but worldwide. But that's the movement that that focus on a group of kids, or what shall I say, in that opportunity between 4 and 14 is that that's the age group where the majority of people give their heart to Christ. So anyway, so they were having a workshop on that, and then this guy, this pastor from North Africa gets up, he's French speaking as his translator there, and he starts sharing a testimony. He says he started his church, or he started under a tree with 4 adults and 6 children, some one oak material, and started working with them. So the kids came to salvation, and then this one, I don't know if it was a boy or girl, but irrelevant, let's say it was a boy, went back home. His mother was sick, bedridden, laid there in the bed for many, I want to say months. So the boy goes out, and his father doesn't serve Christ. He's from a different religion, doesn't serve Christ at all. So he goes back home, he prays for his mother, and his mother gets healed. Amen. So the father comes home, and the father says, so what happened here? Angry. So no, our son prayed for me. And then obviously, long story short, he tells the story. The father gets saved as well. You don't underestimate the power of one encounter, a little boy. That church today is 1,500 people and 600 teenagers because of a few kids under the tree. We underestimate the power and the potential of people when we come to a place of surrender, when we completely come to that place and say, Jesus, here I am. So I thought about this whole thing about me being there this past week, and this time I'm going to end really. How did this story start? Ask myself this question, why am I here, God? Why am I here? There's so many others you could have picked. And it's not about me. I want to say us here, because we are there as a body represented. I represented Namibia. I represented, and I'll share this detail with you now. Us as a church, it's a seed into a next generation. But I had to ask myself the question, Lord, surely you could have had somebody else here. I'm not that special. I'm just another man. You have so many other children, Lord. So this story reminds the story. We're 2 years now down the line, but 2 years ago, I was trying to look, and we were in a stage where we were looking for answers to reach the next generation because we couldn't find certain answers, you know, and you try many things, try to get to the answer. God, how do we reach the next generation? So this was one of those moments. Facebook is sometimes a blessing, by the way. I saw on Facebook this course that's coming up in Pretoria. And I thought, you know what, I'll go in this course, then I'll check this out, maybe learn a little bit, bring it back, and then I'll send our youth leaders, and then maybe we get this nice key, and then we're good to go. We get this. I love God. That's my mindset. That was me. So anyway, long story short is I get to that place, and long story short, God, I meet the leaders of this organization called One Hope that's basically got a vision to get God's word to every child worldwide. And we were talking about this whole thing this past week about how do we reach at 2030 the whole world's children. It's going to take more than just one organization. Don't want to bore you with all the details. 22,000 churches and organizations taking together, and we're one of that, hey? And it's not about us, but just being part of something bigger than God is doing in our country. And anyway, so when back then, 2 years ago, when Brian said, listen, we want to come to Namibia, what's the possibility? So I said, no, let's go back. I'll go back. I'll invite a couple of people. Then we'll see what we can do. Back then, I still thought, you know, let me just set the table. I will serve whoever God wants me to serve in this case. And we do this as a body together. And needless and sad to say, we got together, not a lot of people. I'm not knocking people. Hear my heart. I'm not knocking any other church here this morning. I'm not saying we are so special. I'm just saying. So we got together a few people. And then the question was, listen, and what they're basically doing, this ministry, is they're designing products, scripture engagement products, free. Everything being paid up to when it is here in on our doorstep, and all they want us to say, take it and give it out. So actually, they do training and all that, but here's it, you can have it for free. What's the catch? No, it's for free. What's the catch? We all think, no, there must be a catch in the story. No, there's no catch. This is somebody paid for this, but you can have it. But somebody must put up their hand and say, we'll receive it, and we'll distribute it, and we'll send it out there. So anyway, nobody wanted to put their hands up, and I'm like, and back then, by God's grace, we had a word from the Lord that at that stage said to us that our congregation will be instrumental in reaching the next generation. So I knew God was putting me in a corner in a way, and I just didn't want to say no to God. But I at the same time admitted, Lord, that I'm limited to my capacity, because this is not a one-man thing. It would take a team. It would take a congregation. And I want to say this to all of us here this morning. It's bigger than Shofar Swakopmund. It's bigger than us. This was never meant just for us. It is a seed into our nation. And there's many more things. I'm just talking about the principle when we become available to God, that God takes us to exceedingly great, precious places that we've never dreamed before. So I stood at that place and I realized, God, how do we underestimate you sometimes? How we sometimes, our yes to God will take us to places that we've never dreamed before. And I'm going to say to you and encourage you, guys, and thank you as well at the same time. This is not a Yaku thing. This is not a few leaders thing. This is us as a congregation. But beyond that, and I think that is our biggest challenge at this moment, is to transcend from Shofar into Namibia. To say, guys, we don't want to put a stamp on there and say, you've got a Shofar thing, by the way. And we put a flag in there and say, hey, you can have it, but just remember, we gave it to you. No. We want to sow into a next generation unselfishly and say, Dad, take it. It's for free. I've received it anyway for free. The gospel was free from the start of. Freely give it away. Yeah. You don't know the potential, eh? When you say yes to God. And it's tough. I can admit to you. Sometimes you need to plan properly. You need to strategize. That's why many people do not want to put up their hand. Many people look at that cost, the counter cost, and say, no, I'm not going to do that work. It's too much work. Come on, let's be honest with one another. That's what happens. But by the grace of God, we can go there. Because He equips us. He reaches people around us. Amen. Let's close our eyes. So in the next probably week or so, we're going to continue on the series, but I'm just trusting God to stir your heart this morning that there will be a fresh willingness to go to people. We're going to have some initiatives and reaching out to our community in the next week or so, and just watch our announcements for that. So I really want us to think about that for this next week or so. There are going to be a couple of our cell groups that's going to go out all across town to reach our town. That's just going to be the start. I'm trusting God for that to become the catalyst for more to come. That we don't see that as events, and once I've done that, it's ticked. I fed that person, I gave that, I handed it out. God, I can sit back and relax, but that it becomes a lifestyle continuously, daily, weekly, monthly, whatever it might be, yearly, as the Spirit leads us. But allow the Holy Spirit to just stir your heart. I believe surely that somewhere in the group, somewhere in our family, there will be a place that you will find in the different places that we're going to go to. I want to join them on that. Maybe just one night. Maybe just a Saturday morning. I don't know. Our teams are working on that as we speak. So Father, we thank you this morning that you touch us afresh, Lord. Holy Spirit, that you are present here in this place, that God, that as we're at this place, Lord, that we revisit certain things, Lord, that you would just show us, Lord, again, Lord, your heart, Lord. That you will just show us, Father, how you felt about your people, Lord, and that we will hear your voice again. Lord, I speak against spiritual deafness, Father, maybe distraction, Lord, things that just took our attention for a while. Thank you that you just help us to zoom in on you again, Lord. And Lord, to experience and understand the reality of eternity more than ever before. But to love your people, Lord. Romans 15 says that you shed a heart, Lord, in our hearts, Lord, your love, Lord, abroad in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Father, you give us this morning the ability to look at others, Lord, the way you look at them. To see potential, Lord, where nobody else can see potential. And Lord, to call those things that are not as though they are, Lord. And Father, even though it's hidden from the normal eye, Lord, you enable us with a spiritual eye, Lord, to see deep down in the hearts of men out there, Lord, still searching for you, the beauty, Lord, that's still waiting there to be explored. So, Father, I pray for us as a church that we'll be a generous church, Father, a gracious church, Father, a loving church, Lord. That you will start with us as individuals and just continue, Lord. I thank you for each and everyone that's so willing, Lord, that's giving of themselves. But, Father, thank you that you never leave us, Lord, at the current state where we are at, but that you continuously stretch us, that you continuously mold us, Lord. Thank you for your grace upon that, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your patience with us, Lord. And thank you for your goodness. Maybe you sit in this audience while every eye is closed and you are not that place when you are in a right standing with God, maybe, where you have surrendered your life completely to Christ and that you know that you are in a complete relationship with Him, that you are in a peace with where you find yourself. Maybe you are still struggling, you have fear this morning because you do not know what will happen to you if you die this morning when I spoke about eternity and you're afraid of hell. If that's you this morning and you want to say to Jesus, Jesus, here I am. I want to surrender to you this morning. Nobody looking around. Just quickly give me indication by raising your hand and say, yeah, it's me. I need to make a decision this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. So, Father, I just thank you for each and every precious saint here, each and every precious child of yours, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you come in, Lord, in our hearts and our minds, Lord, that you can imprint, Lord, afresh, Lord, those people that we need to carry continuously. And Father, I pray for those of us that's been carrying so many people and so many. I've been praying for so many, Lord, and it's grown weak, and God says, just keep on. I just sense there are so many of you that's been praying, and God says, just keep on. Because sometimes, Father, it's weary. It wears us down, Lord, and we just feel, Lord, we cannot anymore. Some of us have been carrying our family, Lord, in that place for such a long time. Oh, I just feel a pain at the moment, but God says, I feel the same pain. And God, that we would just continuously bring them before you, trusting for your grace. Pray your grace over them, Lord. God, the same grace that kept us from stumbling and kept us from, even though we stumbled, even though we were in the wrong place, Lord, to kept us and protect us to that place and brought us and led us to that place, Lord, where we could meet you and hear your voice. We ask for the same grace to be extended to them this morning, Lord. To reach them from the furthest corners, Lord, from the places, from the darkest places, to pull them, our children, Lord, our husbands, our wives, Lord, our family members, Lord, those out there, Lord, our colleagues, Lord. Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's all stand.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.